Good morning, Keystone. How are you? Great to see you this morning. Man, it's packed in here. Did we tell you we're starting four services? I think that's a good thing. So plan accordingly. And great to see you on the cusp of this Thanksgiving week. I trust, as Willis said, it's a great time for you and your family and your loved ones. So welcome as we worship together at Keystone. Great to have you, especially those who are visiting with us for the first time. A little bit about me is I grew up in church culture, all right? And some of you here are like, I grew up in church culture too. So my dad was a pastor, went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, most of my life. And some of you are like, yep. And that's a good thing, can be a bad thing, right? Some of you are like, I did not grow up in church culture. I don't know what that was like. You're lucky at some level, maybe. So yeah, it's good and bad, right? But among the things that are in church culture, one thing I wanted to tell you about today is something called the offertory. Okay, the offertory, it's a thing. It's not something we do much anymore, but back in the day, the offertory was a big deal. There's actually a definition for an offertory in an evangelical church, and it's this. It's the musical selection that's played during the passing of the plate, right? Some of you remember that? And so, you know, Sister Sally's little niece would get up there and play her harmonica while the plate was being passed, right? And so it didn't have to necessarily be very good. And some of you remember that the offertory wasn't very good. Some of you were the offertory that wasn't very good, right? We all remember that if we grew up in church culture. And being as I was in a pastor's home, sometimes my siblings and I would do the offertory. So my older brother Andy, my sister Grace, and me, one time it was our time to do the offertory in a Sunday night service, so my dad said, come on up. So Andy, my brother, me, Grace, my sister. Before we went up, my brother and I got to talking in the seat and got to laughing with each other. And you know where this is going, right? So we got up there, and it was my brother's fault because he's the older brother. It's always the older brother's fault, right? If you're here and you're the oldest brother, it's your fault. Always, all right? So we got up there, and my dad started into the offertory, and my brother and I broke down laughing. And my dad gave us that stern look like, you will get spanked when you get home tonight, and calmly said, let's start again. Started again, we regained our composure, got a couple measures in, we started laughing again. At this point, my dad had a really stern look on his face. He's trying to hold the fact that he's a pastor, right? And he says, Andy and Matt, why don't you guys sit down? And he said, Grace, why don't you finish for me? My sister looked at him and said, I don't want to. And she sat down too. So Pastor Fry, my dad, did the offertory by himself, right? So some of you remember moments like that in church culture. Here's the deal. We did not finish that offertory well. All right? And I was thinking a lot about that story in light of our theme today from Joshua, finishing well. Here's the thing. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of offertories in life, aren't there? As it were, things that we need to finish well, things that we want to finish well. What does that look like for you? It's everything from raising kids to a project at work. Everything from ending the semester well to repairing a relationship. If I were to say to you today, what is something in your life that you want to finish well? I'm pretty sure you come up with something. I certainly can. There are things in life that we want to finish well. What are those for you? What does that look like? The book of Joshua has demonstrated the promise of God and the reality of living in that promise. And today we're gonna see that a big part of that promise is finishing well. Finishing well. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua 17, and we're basically gonna drop down into the context of Joshua's chapter 17 through 19. And a lot of what we're gonna talk about today is this issue of finishing well. If you jump, as you're turning, jump to the end of our text today, Joshua 19, 51, the very end. So this is the last verse of chapter 19. Notice what it says. This is Joshua 19, 51. These were the portions that the priest Eleazar, Joshua the son of Nun, and the family heads distributed to the Israelite tribes by lot at Shiloh in the Lord's presence at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So notice, so they finished dividing up the land. I mean, in some ways, I feel like we should stand and applaud, right? When did we start this thing? Back in like September. And here we are all the way arriving at the end of the book of Joshua, and they finished dividing up the land, which is a big part of what the book's about. So they finished dividing up the land. Do they finish well? That's the question we want to ask. Let's take a look at that. And within these narratives, I think we're going to see together several essentials for finishing well. So as we arrive to the end of Joshua 19, they finish dividing up the land. The big task that was before them in this book, in living in the promise of going into the land, and man, God has come through remarkably, and they have failed miserably, and it's just been an amazing journey. And here we are. Do they finish well? And by extension, I wonder, what is that thing in your life that you want to finish well? What are some essentials for that? We want to consider that together from Joshua chapter 17 through 19. You received the paper when you came in a program. Maybe you want to jot some things down or just keep these things in mind as we think together about finishing well. Here's several things that jump out at us in the text. Number one is this: in finishing well, there's a promise to keep. Okay? There's a right thing to do. What's that thing you want to finish well? I want this to finish well, and it might be short term, it might be long term, but I want to finish this well. Within that, there's probably a lot of right things to do. And in this case, there's a promise to keep. There's a promise to keep. Here's the deal. In 17 through 19, there are these things called land grant narratives. So really, in Joshua's chapter 16 through 19, it's a lot of flyover. All right, it's like people land, people land, people land, and then it stops. And we drop down into a story about individuals. So instead of it just being a lot of information like reading records, all of a sudden, the author tells us about some people. He's like, hey, I want to take a minute. I want to tell you about this one family. Land grant narratives. And it's the way that the giving of the land and the dividing of the land apply to an individual or to a family specifically. So within those land grant areas, that's some of what we want to consider. And the first one we want to consider comes with this idea that in finishing well, there's often a promise to keep. A promise to keep. 17, hopefully you're there. Joshua 17, verses 3 and 4, in finishing well, there's a promise to keep. Big name, so pray for me. Here I go. Now, Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Maker, son of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters. These are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah. They came before the priest Eleazar, Joshua the son of Nun, and the leader, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our male relatives." So, I circled that. So they gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers in keeping with the Lord's instruction. In finishing well, there's a promise to keep. I want to say a couple things about the promise here. Number one, within the promise to keep here, there is the boldness to ask. And I think this especially goes in light of these four young sisters. I think this especially goes to those who are next generation in our church. As you look to fulfill and to complete and to finish well in life and ministry, be bold enough to ask. Because here's the context with these four sisters, these daughters. Their father had no sons, and this is a patriarchal society, so it's all about the males, right? And these four young women come to Moses. And they say, listen, our father passed in the wilderness generation, and here we are, there were no male heirs. So if the inheritance, if the land isn't given to us, we don't receive anything. We would like to have that inheritance. They have the boldness to ask. Sometimes that's what it takes with a promise to keep. Zelophehad had no sons, and his daughter said, we would like to receive that inheritance. And you can read about that in Numbers 27, Numbers 36. The whole story is laid out there where they came to Moses. These women needed persistence to ask for their inheritance. a persistence that would change the ability of women in Israel to inherit. This is a big deal. It was a bold ask. They had the boldness to do so. God had promised that they would receive their allocation. So they claimed it. They come all these years later, they come to Joshua and to Eliezer and they say, what was promised us by Moses? We'd like to have that. Man, that took boldness. Boldness the whole way through. One writer says, mention of these women is intended to point to them as examples of faith. These are incredible women. Examples of faith as women who claim the promises. Man, in some ways, they're just ordinary women whose dad kind of died along with everybody else. Remember last week, Pastor Brent shared with us about Caleb, and Caleb's awesome, right? He's like, I'll take this mountain. I'm 85 years old. Let's get it. These are just four women, sisters who are like, we're the heirs, and if we don't get this inheritance, we have nothing. Could we be bold enough to ask that God would give us this? And Moses says, absolutely. Finishing well means there's a promise to keep, and I love the boldness of the daughters of Zelophehad, even though they have hard names to pronounce, that they were bold enough to ask. But the really big part of this, when it comes to finishing well, is this. There was a commitment to follow through with it, right? 17:4, look with me, 17:4b, second part of the verse. So, remember I told you I circled that? I circled that because I love how the promise is kept. They went to Joshua, they went to Eliezer and said, remember what Moses said? Joshua and Eliezer says, of them as the leaders, so they gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers in keeping with the Lord's instruction. For some of us here, that thing that we want to do to finish well demands that there's a promise to keep, that there's some right thing to do, and it's going to take follow through. It's going to take commitment to say, I'll do that. I wonder in what it is you want to finish well. What is the right thing to do? What is the promise to keep? Joshua, Eliezer, the leaders in the land, they follow through. I got to tell you, if I were to use words to describe the kind of father I am, I was a will see father. Like my kids would probably say, Dad, if we got you a t-shirt to describe you as a dad, it would say, we'll see. I said that all the time to my kids, right? And I see some of you mothers are looking at your husbands like, that's you. Right? It's the easiest thing to say, isn't it, Dad? When the kids are like, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? We'll see. My daughter caught on to that at about 6 months. And it got to the point where she knew the one thing she could say when I would say, we'll see, would be, that just means no. And I would try to rationalize with her why we'll see is the right answer. I wonder, followers of Jesus, are you a will-see Christian? Man, don't will-see your way through life. When God says there's a promise to keep, when God says if you're going to finish well, there's a right thing to do, don't give God a will-see. These brave women come to Joshua and Eliezer and say, this is what we asked for. That was the promise that God said through Moses we could have. So, the leader said, absolutely, that inheritance is yours. Sometimes finishing well means there's a promise to keep. There's a commitment to follow through. So let me ask you, friend, there's this journey of finishing well. What does that mean for you? Whatever that might mean in your life right now, in what way does finishing well mean you have a promise to keep? Let me give you some words that I was thinking about when I thought about finishing well and promises to keep. Here's some things maybe you need to say, I forgive. Maybe you need to say, I need to make that right. Maybe you need to say, I need to explain. I need to persist. I need to complete. I need to allow. I need to undo. I need to listen. What is that right thing you need to do in the process of finishing well? Whatever that thing is that you want to finish well, what is it where you need to say, there's a promise to keep, there's a right thing to do? It was the first aspect of finishing well. Secondly, in finishing well, there is a battle to fight. There's a promise to keep. There's a right thing to do. There's also a battle to fight. Sometimes in that area of our life where we want to finish well, the biggest challenge is we're afraid. There's something that's terrifying. There's something to fear. That's what we see here. Jump ahead in the context with me. Go to chapter 17, verse 14. Chapter 17, verse 14. Joseph's descendants. So Joseph is a tribe, right? It's a group of people. Joseph's descendants said to Joshua, why did you give us only one tribal allotment as an inheritance? We have many people because the Lord has been blessing us greatly. If you have so many people, Joshua replied to them, go to the forest, clear an area for yourselves. They're in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, because Ephraim's hill country is too small for you. But the descendants of Joseph said, the hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who inhabit the valley area, have iron chariots, both at Bethshean with the surrounding villages and in the Jezreel Valley. So Joshua replied to Joseph's family, that is to Ephraim and Manasseh, you have many people and great strength. You will not have just one allotment, because the hill country will be yours also. It is a forest, clear it, and its outlying areas will be yours. You can also drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and are strong. Sometimes when it comes to finishing well, there are promises to keep. There's a right thing to do, but there's also a battle to fight. There's a battle to fight. And that's the case here. Look at the text with me. What is it that Joseph's afraid of? The tribe of Joseph. Iron chariots. Twice we read the word iron chariots. They say, listen, we know there's the land we could take, but the iron chariots. Two times, Joshua replied. Friend, let me ask you, in your life, who is replying to you? Who is the influence in your life when you present them with a fear, they are replying to you? Because two times Joshua has to say to them, listen, I know they have iron chariots, but you can take the land. Who is it in your life in that thing you want to finish well? Who is it that is talking to you? Who are the right voices? Are you surrounded by people who are saying to you, yeah, you'll never overcome that addiction. That's bigger than you can face. It'll never work. Or in that thing you want to finish well, are you surrounding yourself with the voices who are replying, dude, I don't care if they have iron chariots. You got this in the power of Jesus. Who are the voices? Are they the right voices? Because when it comes to finishing well, you need to have the right voices, because there's the danger of the wrong focus. There's the danger of the wrong focus. Listen, the tribe of Joseph was torn up about iron chariots. They say to Joshua, they have iron chariots. Their focus is wrong. Remember in the last point, the promise to keep. I had us consider 17:4b, where it says, so they gave them an inheritance. I love in chapter 17, verse 18b, it says, Joshua says, you can also drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and are strong. Joshua wants to take their eyes off the wrong focus. I wonder, friend, in your desire to finish well, whatever that means in your life, do you have the right voices replying to you, who help you take your focus off the wrong things? Because I don't know about you, but I've got iron chariots in my life. I got things I'm wrongly afraid of. And I need the right people to say, Matt, don't let your focus remain there. If you're going to finish well, you need to fight the battle. What is that battle you need to fight? Who are those voices that need to be replying to you? I love this. David and Goliath, that's a story a lot of us know, right? I love this when David stands before Goliath. Look at this. This is 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin. Iron chariots! You come before me with a sword, a spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defiled him." I wonder today in the area of your life where you want to finish well, do you have people that are replying into your life to say, "Listen, I know there's iron chariots. Hey, I know about the javelins and the spears and the swords. But you have the Lord of armies. Take the land. You can defeat the Canaanites." Sometimes finishing well means there's a battle to fight. So on your journey of finishing well, a journey that we're all on, whatever that might mean in your life right now, who is replying to you? Let's get personal. Spouses, are you on the same team? When you talk to each other, do you help each other deal with the iron chair? Like parenting, are you like, "Those kids have iron chariots"? It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? As a team, are saying, "We got this." And when one is afraid of the fight, the other one lifts you up. Spouses, is that how you're working as a team? Friends, you have others who stick closer than the brother, as the Bible says. College students, are you connected with people who you would say they stick closer than a brother? When they reply to me, it's the words that I need to hear to fight the battle. Connection group members, because at Keystone, that's a big part of our life, isn't it? Connection group members, I wonder what advice are you giving each other? When someone in your group says, "Iron chariots," how do you reply? Are you the voice that says, "Fight this battle"? We need those voices replying to us, because it's easy to get our focus on the iron chariots when we want to finish well, isn't it? I wonder, what are the iron chariots that consume your focus? Martin Luther said, "Pray and let God worry." I love what Ellen Davis writes. "The need of biblical lament doesn't get stuck in the groove of despair." Brothers and sisters, in the battle that there is to fight, surround yourself with the voices so that frustration, so that fear doesn't get stuck in the groove of despair. Lament voices complaint, but it advances toward confidence. It names petition, but then it marches toward praise. And here's the deal. You want to finish well? There's a battle to fight. So to keep your focus off the wrong things, you need the right people speaking into your life, replying to you. In the power of God, you can do this. Fight the battle. In the New Testament, Paul writes this to his young protege, Timothy: "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In finishing well, there is a battle to fight. There is a promise to keep. The last thing is this: there's a job to do. There's a job to do. Go to chapter 18, verse 2. "But seven tribes among the Israelites were left who had not divided up their inheritance. So Joshua asked the Israelites, 'How long will you delay going out to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, gave you? Appoint for yourselves three men from each tribe, and I will send them out. They are to go and survey the land, write a description of it for the purpose of their inheritance, and return to me.'" Jump down to verse 6. When you have written a description of the seven portions of land and brought it to me, I will cast lots for you here in the presence of the Lord our God. When it comes to finishing well, there's a promise to keep. There's probably a right, there are many right things to do. What is it in your life right now you want to finish well? Within that, there's the next right, the promise to keep. There's a battle to fight. I want to finish well, but the iron chariots. Okay, who are the voices speaking into your life to finish well? The last thing is a lot less exciting. There's a job to do. Sometimes I'd rather fight the battle because it's more exciting. But sometimes there's just a job to do. And there's seven tribes who we come to the end of chapter 19 and they're like, we don't have an inheritance. And I'm not sure the tone of Joshua's voice, but it's almost a frustration of get out there, survey the land, come back, I'll cast lots and we'll get it figured out. Just go do the job. Many of us know the word pedestrian as a noun, right? You know what a pedestrian is? Well, did you know pedestrian can be used as an adjective too? Pedestrian can mean lacking excitement. Like you're a pedestrian person. Here's what I've discovered in my years living the Christian life. There's a lot of living the Christian life that is just pedestrian. It is putting one foot in front of the other and living life. And it's not very exciting. And right here, Joshua tells these seven tribes, listen, here's what I got to tell you. There's a job to do. So go out and survey the land. Come back. Give me a description. I'll cast lots. You'll get your land. And let's move on. For some of us, there's a job to do. Even if it is the pedestrian reality of life. Trash day for me is Friday. Every other Friday, it's trash day and recycle day. So I've been in Iowa about 6 months. Guess how many times I've missed trash day? A lot. So I put a reminder in my phone for trash day. And so now that alarm goes off, and every Thursday night or early Friday morning, I dutifully take those trash things out to the end of the street. But here's the thing, and this has been most of my marriage. Jolynn never says thank you. Never. All these years, I've been paying attention to the trash, making sure it gets taken out on the right day. Every other Friday, the green one goes out too. This is what I do. Some mornings I'm walking out there with my trash things thinking, this is how big of me. I never ask for a thank you. I just do this. And some of you are like, Fry, you're way too sensitive. Your wife should not be thanking you for that. For Pete's sake, just take out the trash and figure out which day it is, by the way. Here's the thing. Sometimes in the Christian life, there's a lot of stuff that we have to do that there's just not a lot of drama around it. And there's not a lot of pats on the back and thank you and well done. Sometimes it's, listen, seven of you don't have your land, so go out and survey it and come back and I'll make sure you get what's coming to you, but just put the hard work in. But that's part of finishing well. And sometimes we're looking for the next exciting non-pedestrian thing in life, aren't we? And God is saying, hey, there's a lot of pedestrian reality, a lot of lacking in excitement things that have to be done. Do the job to finish well. What does that look like for you? What does it look like for me when it comes to finishing well? I love that Joshua says, go. Did you notice? I circled him three times in this text. He said, go and survey the land. And as the men prepared to go, Joshua said, go. I got it. Go, right? Just do the job. An encouragement to go. It was interesting. You can win the battle even though. And the first point about promise was, so they gave them the promise. Joshua says, when it comes to this issue of just doing the job. Go. Friend, there's this journey of finishing well. It's a journey we're all on. I don't know what that means in your life right now, but perhaps the hardest part of committing, of doing that, of finishing well, is committing to doing the job. Perhaps the hardest part to finishing well is just committing to doing the job, taking out the trash with no fanfare. What do you want to finish well? What do you need to finish well today, Keystone friend? Maybe this lesson from Joshua, from the children of Israel, maybe today I've made you feel more determined. Maybe you're here and you're like, oh, yes. Maybe I've made you feel more guilty. Maybe beyond that, I've made you feel more desperate. Friend, if that's the case, that is not my goal. My goal is to tell you that on your own, you can't finish well. And that if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to meet the Savior who did finish well on the cross. He's the only one who truly finished well. When he said, "It is finished." It is finished on the cross. If you don't know Jesus, listen, finishing well begins at the cross. Finishing well begins on the cross. But what is that thing you want to finish well? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, start at the cross. Keystone friends, pastor and author Tony Evans said this, Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." He was just getting started. And that's true for our lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ here at Keystone, what's the promise to keep? I wonder, what is the battle to fight? What is the job to do? Jesus says, "It is finished." And in that power, we can finish well. Follow Jesus. Finish well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we start with the work of Jesus, because that's where we need to start when we want to finish well, whatever it is. And all of us have something big, something small, seemingly. But they don't escape the gaze of you, Lord. So I pray that we would give attention to what it is in our lives that needs to be finished well. And God, it may be the right thing, a promise to keep. So we need to do that. It may be a battle to fight, so surround us with the right people who will reply, "You can do this despite the iron chariots." Lord, we need those influences because our focus gets off you, and in fear, we're just not sure. So God, grant us those relationships. And God, for some of us, it's just one foot in front of the other. It's the next right thing tomorrow. That's what we need to do to finish well, God. We just have a job to do. So help us to go out and survey the land this week. Help us to do that. Only, Father, because of your son, Jesus, who finished, the only one who finished perfectly well at the cross. And when he said it is finished, that's where we start in any effort in his power. So Lord, I pray for any that don't know you, that Lord, the thought of finishing would begin at the foot of the cross where Christ died for us. We thank you for that sacrifice. In his name, amen.
Would you guys stand with us?